We're holding on Tesavov, Omud Aleph, second line. So we started to talk about yesterday about issues involving Tumah v'Tahara, first in connection with burning kodshim that are tame with other kodshim that are tame but different degrees of Tumah, then truma which is posel, which is a lower degree of Tumah, in a lamp, which is a higher degree of Tumah. And then we're relating that to, then the Mishnah, Rav Meir continued, midivrei hem, from their words, we can learn that we can burn Truma Tahora together with Truma Tmeya when it comes Erev Pesach, if they're both Chametz. And Rav Yossi disagrees. So we were saying that, what do we mean midivrei hem? Whose words is Rav Meir learning that from? So we said one possibility is it means he's learning it from what Rav Chanina Sgan HaKoyanim says. Actually, Tosfos discusses at some length over here that actually you still need both what Rav Chanina is saying and what Rav Akiva is saying, because we discussed yesterday, according to Rav Chanina, we're saying that you're allowed to go one degree up in Tumah and maybe only Tumah Dirabanan. On one level, we were saying Rav Chanina is talking about a case where Rav Chanina may be talking about a case where the one piece of meat is Tomei on a Doraisa level, the other one is Tomei only on a Dirabanan level, which means Doraisa, it's still Tahor, and you're allowed to burn them together. We also, though, still need what Rabbi Akiva is telling us, though, that you also have the case involving Truma, where even though it's only possible, you're allowed to make it more tame. So that's one way of understanding what Rav Meir is saying, that he is referring to the first half of the Mishnah and saying, on that basis, we see that when it comes to Pesach, you can burn Truma Tahora together with Truma Tmeya. On the other hand, Amar Shlokish Mishum Bar Kapara, Masnissin Ba'ava Truma. Now, that required us to say that when Rav Chanina is talking about Avatuma versus Vladatuma, he's talking on two different levels. The Avatuma that he's talking about, where the one piece of meat became Tomei, is a Daraisa Avatuma, for example, Sheretz or Nevelo or what have you, or Mess for that matter. And the Vladatuma that he was talking about, that the other one became Tomei with, was a Tuma Dirabanan, was a Tuma Dirabanan. For example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say if a Keli becomes Tomei from liquids, which is only on a Dirabanan level, because Daraisa liquids, Daraisa, we discussed before, we're going to discuss later in the Gemara, whether Daraisa liquids can even be Matame anything, but definitely to be Matame a Keli is only Dirabanan. So therefore, then we're talking about that Keli touched some meat. Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of that, and maybe there are other ways that it became Tomei Dirabanan. Whatever the case, according to that first explanation in the Gemara, it requires us to say that Rav Chanina's Av HaTumah versus Vlad HaTumah are two different kinds of things. One Daraisa, one Dirabanan. On the other hand, Omer Shlokish Mishum Bar Kapara. No, Masnissin ba'av HaTumah Daraisa or Vlad HaTumah Daraisa. No, the Mishnah is talking about that both the Av and the Vlad are Tumas Daraisa. In which case, then how can you derive from that in that case? So after all, you have both pieces of meat that you're burning together are Tumah Daraisa, one Shlishi and one Rishon, respectively. So the Rishon touches the Shlishi and turns it into a Sheni, and Rav Chanina is allowing that. But how can we learn from that? To burning chametz together, where the one batch of truma that you're burning is completely tahor. So that was the Gemara's original question, that how are we learning from that to truma tahora, when after all, in both Rav Chanina's and Rav Akiva's cases, we're dealing with one thing is tamei and the other one is also either tamei or posel. How do you derive from that to something where one is tamei and one is tahor? So if we say that the Mishnah is talking about an Av and a Vlad, which are both Daraisa, then umay midivrei hem, then what does Rav Meir mean when he says from their words we can derive that you can burn Truma Tahora together with Truma Tmeya? That would be not from anything in our Mishnah thus far, but midivrei Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua. based on something that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say elsewhere, which now we're going to figure out where that elsewhere is. Based on that, Rabbi Meir is saying that you should be able to burn Truma Tahora together with Truma Tmeya. In other words, it comes out, according to Rish Lakish's understanding, the first half and the second half of our Mishnah are not really directly tied together. The first half is telling us certain dinim as far as burning Kodshim and burning Truma. The second one is also talking about burning Truma, but that's all the connection they have. Nothing more than that. We're not actually learning from the first half to be able to derive the second half. The second half, we're actually deriving, according to Reb Meir, according to Reish Lakish's understanding, Reb Meir is deriving it from a completely different place in Shas. So he means midivrehem. He means from what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say in a different place. So now the question is, hey, Rabbi Yeshua, which statement of Rabbi Yeshua? So Rashi says the connection is, again, that we just have the first half of the Mishnah, just because both halves are talking about burning Kodshim and burning Truma. So therefore it goes together with the burning Chametz that we're talking about over here, even though the scenario is not the same. According to Tosfos, the Gemara itself is going to point out later on that Rabbi Yossi, when he says to Rabbi Meir, Eina hi hamida, he says that's not a correct comparison, and he mentions this machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and what they agree and what they don't agree to. The Gemara explains later on that according to Rish Lakish's understanding, according to the other understanding, the first understanding of the Gemara, which later we're going to say Rabbi Yochanan agrees with, it comes out that Rabbi Yossi misunderstood Rabbi Meir. He heard Rabbi Meir saying you're allowed to burn them together. He thought he's deriving it from what Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva say, and he objects to that. And then Rabbi Meir explains to him that no, I'm actually learning it from that case of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the question is, hey, Rabbi Yeshua, which statement of Rabbi Yeshua are we learning from that you should be able to burn chametz that's truma that's tahor together with truma that's tameh? E lema ha Rabbi Yeshua, are you going to say it's the following case that Rabbi Yeshua talks about? The Tinan, we have a Mishnah in Trumas. Chavis shel Truma shenolad la Safek Truma. Suppose you have a barrel of Truma where you have a Safek Truma on it. You're not sure if it became Tomei. So Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, you had the barrel was sitting someplace. A Tomei person walked in. We don't know whether he touched it or not. So that would be Suffolk Tuma. Tosfos objects to that because in that case, then it's the usual case of Suffolk Tuma, Birshus Yochid, or Suffolk Tuma, Birshus Rabim. And in that case, then you have the usual rules. It's either Tomei or Tahor, as the case may be, there's no Suffolk. So rather, Tosfos explains that we're talking about you have two barrels over there. We know he touched one of them. We know he only touched one, not both of them, but we don't know which one. So therefore, now both of them are Suffolk Tomei. Whatever the case, the point is you have a barrel of truma, which might be tomei, might be tahor. What do you do with it? Rabbi Eliezer says that if you have it lying in an uncovered place, in a place where it could conceivably become tomei, Rashi translates turpa as hefker. He should instead take it and put it in a concealed place, like you would with truma that was completely tahor. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer holds, even though this truma has a suffix on it, we still, mitzada suffix, we have to consider, we have to be machmer on it in both ways. So we have to be machmer, we can't eat it because it might be tomei, but we also, on the other hand, have to be machmer that we need to guard it as if it was tahor. So therefore, the same way as the usual rule would be, if we had a barrel of wine, let's say, of truma, that definitely was tahor, and it was outside, we would be obligated, la halacha, to bring it inside and to cover it, to make sure a sheretz or whatever doesn't accidentally fall into it, or a person doesn't touch it, who's not supposed to be touching it. Rabbi Eliezer says the same thing is true as far as this barrel of truma, of truma, where there's a suffix. So you have to bring it in to a concealed place. If it's uncovered, then you have to cover it so a sheretz doesn't fall into it. In other words, again, he's saying that you still have the mitzvah to guard it. Rashi explains you have a pasuk that says that Hashem says to Aaron, I'm giving you shmeres trumoisai, the guarding of my trumois in the plural. So that implies there's two kinds of truma that the Kohenim are supposed to guard. One of them is where it's tahor. The other one is where it's tolui, like in this case, where we're not sure if it's tamei or tahor. And still, the Torah is implying that you need to guard it and make sure that it doesn't become definitely tamei. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, on the contrary, if it's in a concealed place, you can place it in an uncovered area. You can put it in a place where it's more likely to become tame. It doesn't matter because it's tloya. Rashi says, because since you have, the Pasuk does say Trumoisai, but it's written without the last Vav, so we can read it as if it said Trumasi, which means my Truma, in the singular. So there's only one kind of Truma that you need to guard, namely the kind that's definitely Tahar. So if it's Suffolk Tameh, as in this case, Rabbi Yeshua says you don't have to guard it. Therefore, if you want, you can put it outdoors, for example. And if it was covered, you're allowed to uncover it. Actually, Rashi over here says you're allowed to. Elsewhere, the Gemara is also in Bechorah, so Rashi says you should do that, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Because the problem is, as long as this truma is toleri, you can't do anything with it. You can't eat it or drink it, because it might be tame. You can't, though. Now we learned yesterday that when truma is tame, you're allowed to have, the Kohen is allowed to have enough from it as he's destroying it. So for example, if it's oil, then he's allowed to light a lamp with it. And if it's wine, now what do you do? How do you have hanah from wine as you're spilling it out? What you can do is, and we're going to talk about it towards the end of our perek, you can use it to sprinkle around your house to make a nice fragrance in the house. It's called ziluf. Now, as long as the truma is toleri, you can't do that either, because it might be tahor, and you're not allowed to waste truma that's tahor like that. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, Rashi mentions elsewhere, that it means that Rabbi Yeshua is saying you should definitely take steps. Now, you can't be metame it be a dayim, fine. You can't actually take a dead sheretz, let's say, and touch it to the truma in order to definitely make it tame. Rabbi Yeshua is not going to go that far, but you're allowed to put it outdoors or uncover it, and that way make it more likely that a sheretz or what have you will fall into it and make it tame. Because this way, at least, you'll actually be able to do something with it. You'll actually then be able to destroy it by doing ziluf or lighting it in a lamp or whatever, as opposed to right now when it's toleri, you can't do anything with it at all. Anyway, the point is, so we have this machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, what you're doing with truma, which is toleri. So maybe we can derive from that. We see that Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you, once you have truma, which anyway, in the end, all you're going to be able to do is burn it or sprinkle it or whatever. Then you're allowed to now cause it to become tamei. Maybe we can derive from that the same thing. In our Mishnah, the mayor would be saying the same thing. You have truma, which is tahor, fine, but it's about to become also to eat anyway because it's Erev Pesach. So therefore, maybe we're saying you're allowed to burn it together with the truma tamei. The problem with that is, me dummy, how do you compare that case in trumas with our case over here in Pesachim? There, Rabbi Yeshua is not saying you can actually take a thing that's tomei and touch it to the barrel. You can't tell a zov to touch the barrel. You can't take a sheretz and touch it to the barrel. The most Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to do is to open up the barrel and leave it outdoors so it's more likely to become tomei, not to be metamei at biyadayim. Whereas over here, hachab yadayim, here you're actually taking the chametz, which is tahor, and putting it together with the chametz, which is tameh, and then burning it together. So you're actually making it tameh with your own hands. How could even Rabbi Yeshua is not allowing that? So we can't say that a mayor is referring to that case. Ela ha Rabbi Yeshua. Rather, we can say that he's referring to the following machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanan, we have another Mishnah also in Trumas. It's back to back with the previous one, actually. Chavis shel truma shenishbara begas hel yona. Now you have to realize for this purpose how the wine presses were arranged in those days. You'd have if you ever visited any of these archaeological digs in Eretz Yisrael or any of these places where they have reconstructions of it, then you'll have a better idea of this. But you have like this: there's the gashel yoina. You have the upper wine press, which is where they actually press the grapes. It's a big round thing. Rashi calls it. It's called elsewhere. The Gemara calls it adoshim shogas. It's called the lentil of the press because it's round. It's round like a lentil. So there's where you put the grapes and you press them. Then you have lower down from that is a hole in the ground, a vat in the ground, which is where the juice runs down into it. You have a channel running from the upper gas from that adosha down into this pit in the ground, and the wine collects, and the grape juice rather collects in there. and then you leave it over there to ferment. So the Mishnah says, if a barrel of truma breaks in the upper gas, so now if you don't do something, all that wine is going to flow down into the lower gas. Now the problem is the lower gas contains chulin wine, chulin grape juice, which is tamei. Now here's the problem: if the bottom one had been chulin tahorin, then fine. What you could do is make sure you have a few possibilities. You could have that there could be 100 times as much chulin as truma, and then no problem. All of it is mutter to zorim. You just have to take out the amount of truma that fell in there, an equivalent amount to the amount that fell in there, and give it to the kohenim, and you'd be allowed to drink the rest. You could also have where the bottom part is chulin is less than 100 times. Fine, it'll be also to Zorim, it'll be Meduma. You're going to have to sell the whole thing to Kohenim. But at least in the event, somebody is going to be able to drink it. The Kohenim are going to be able to drink it. But here you have the problem is the chulin on the bottom are tummy. What happens? The wine from the top flows into it, which is Truma. It's going to become Truma Tmeya. Truma Tmeya, you can't drink. Again, all you can do with it is sprinkle it around your house. So there's going to be a major loss involved over here. So what can you do? So the Mishnah says, Moedir Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Now, to start with, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua do agree she'im yochol lahatzol mimenu revias betara, that if you're able to save a revias of it with tara, meaning if there is enough time that you can go and grab kalim that are toher and bring them there in time to catch at least a revias of the wine from that barrel that broke before it flows down. If so, yatzil, then you're obligated to do that. The rest of it, meanwhile, is going to be flowing down in there and becoming truma tmeya, and then the whole thing is also to everybody. No, you still tough luck. As long as you're able to save a revias of it patara, you're obligated to do that because you have a mitzvah not to allow truma to become tomei. V'im lav, if by the time you get kalim tahorim, all of it, you're going to have less than a revias of it left in the upper gas, that's where you have a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer oim teter b'titame. Rabbi Eliezer says, even so, you have to allow it to flow down into the lower one. V'al yitam ene b'yad, you're still not allowed to be metame at b'yadayim by taking with your own hands that are tame and being metame the truma, or your own kalim which are tame and being metame the truma, because fine, you're not going to be able to save any of the truma batara, but at least you can't be matame at biyadayim. So if that means that all of it is going to flow down into the lower gas and is all going to become tame, that's how it has to be, says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says no. In that case, since anyway it's going to become tame, then Rabbi Yeshua is actually allowing you in that case to be matame at biyadayim. In order to save the wine below, that's the point. But like what you're gaining by doing it like this is, this way only the original barrel that broke is going to be also to drink, and you have to sprinkle it. At least the wine in the lower gas, which is chulin tmein, is going to be saved. You're not going to have a problem where now that's going to be also to drink as well. Whatever's on the bottom is still going to be chulin, is going to remain chulin tmeim because no truma is going to go into it. So fine, it means for people who are not careful about truma v'tara will be allowed to drink that wine. People who are tomei will be allowed to drink that wine, no problem, because it's chulin. No, anybody, it's chulin. It's chulin. What we're talking about is if you allowed that wine to flow in, then everything is going to become osur, the original barrel as well as all the wine that it flows into. Because now it's all going to be truma, which is tamei, as opposed to you prevent that wine from flowing down, then at least you have fun. The original one is going to become truma tmeya, because you're going to be metameya with your hands or your tamei dik kalim or whatever, but at least you'll save the wine in the bottom. Rabbi Eliezer says you're still not allowed to do that. And Rabbi Yeshua says, given that you're anyway not even going to be able to save a revias of the truma wine, betara, then you're allowed to be metameya at biyadayim at that point. So according to both of them, if at any truma that flows down into the bottom one is going to become truma tmeya, Now you have the question, how much of it flowed in? If you have 100 times as much colon as the truma that flowed in, then it's still not so bad. Then you're then it's meduma, then it's bottle, in 100. So then it's bottle in 100. So zorim will still be able to drink it. On the other hand, if you have more flows in, then the whole thing is going to become usur to drink because it's going to be truma tmeah. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, so that's what we're saying. Therefore, so we see from what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, just like he says over there, that since the wine is going to be lost anyway, if you don't do anything, it's going to end up becoming Truma Tmeya. Like this, you're also making it Truma Tmeya Biyadayim. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to do that, since anyway, you have no option to save it Batara. In other words, again, remember, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, if there's an option to save it Batara, you always have to do that. Only in the case where there's no option to save it Batara, it's either it's going to remain in the upper gas and be Tame, or it's going to flow down into the lower gas and also be Tame and be Matame and Aser all the other wine that's there as well. So then Rabbi Yeshua is saying you can be Matame at Biadayim in order to save the wine on the bottom. He's gaining that the wine on the bottom is not going to become Aser, exactly. So by the same token, we can say in our Mishnah, Rav Meir is going to say in our Mishnah, the same thing, this chametz is anyway going to soon be also b'hanah, is soon going to be also to eat and have hanah from. Therefore, there's no problem being the tameh v'yadayim by burning it together with other chametz, which is tameh. So that's what we're learning from. So the question is, yihachi hai midivrei hem, then why is he using the expression from their words, midvar rav miboyle? He should be saying from his words, because specifically it's based on Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that he's allowing it. Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't allow it there in the case of the wine, and he wouldn't allow it here, bepashtus, in the case of the chametz either. So what do you mean midivrei hem? Now, at the top of the Amud, when we asked that question, and we said, Midivrei B'chanina Sgana Koinim. So again, the answer is, it's not only B'chanina Sgana Koinim, we also need Rabbi Akiva's opinion about the oil and the lamp over there in order to reinforce it. But here, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying it would be Aser. So how can you say you're learning from what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, that it's also there, that it should be Mutter over here? The answer is, Hachi Kamar. Mimachloikdan Shel Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Based on that machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Lamadnu, we can learn what the din would be over here. In fact, especially because we know, Rashi points out, the halacha is almost never like Rabbi Eliezer. We know Rabbi Eliezer Shamusihu, he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and he was placed in Cherem and the whole story of Tanur Shalachnoi. It's very, very rare that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. We learned in Masechta Nida that I think there are only four places where the halacha is like him. So therefore, once we have a machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, says Rabbi Meir, automatically we know the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. Well, if we automatically know the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, then we know automatically. In that case, that means the same thing over here. You can burn the Truma Tahora together with the Truma Tmeya. In fact, the Gemara says Dekanami. In fact, yeah, we can see from the wording of our Mishnah that that Rish Lakish's understanding is correct, that Rabbi Meir is basing himself not on Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah, but on Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua from a different case, because the Katani murdered Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yossi answers that murdered Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that you can't burn Tahora together with Tmeya, implying that Rabbi Yossi knows that Rabbi Meir is already referring to that machloikas, and he's saying, no, you're misunderstanding how that machloikas would apply to our case over here. But we see, therefore, that Rabbi Meir is learning from that machloikas. Shema Aminah, so that proves it. Continues the Gemara, V'chein Omer Rab Nachman Omer Rav Bavu Masnissin Ba'ava Tumah D'Oraisa Uvlada Tumah D'Oraisa. Rab Nachman says in the name of Rav Bavu the same explanation as Rish Lakish said in the name of Bar Kappara, that going back now to Rab Chanina Sgana Koy, name of our Mishnah, the Ava Tumah and the Vlada Tumah he's talking about, where the different pieces of meat became Tomei, are both D'Oraisa, a D'Oraisa Av, like a Sheretz, and a D'Oraisa Vlad, like food that touched the sheretz, like liquids, let's say, that touched the sheretz. And therefore, that when Rabbi Meir says midivrehem, that we're learning from their words, he doesn't mean from Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva, because again, then they're talking about things that are tome daraisa or posel daraisa, and you can't learn from that for truma, which is tahor daraisa. Rather, he's learning from what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say in that Mishnah in Trumas, where in that case, the broken barrel is truma tahora. And yet, Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to be metame at biyadayim, because either way, it's going to be lost. However, Esvei Rava le Rav Nachman, but Rava says to Rav Nachman, in that case, so Rav Nachman's opinion requires us to say that the tumas that we're talking about in the first half of our Mishnah are all tumas d'oraisa. When he says that it was tumah with an avatumah means an avatumah d'oraisa, like a sheretz. When he talks about a vladatumah means a vladatumah d'oraisa. So, for example, again, food that touched the sheretz, and then that food touched liquids, which touched food, etc. And therefore, that the second half of the Mishnah is not referring to them; it's referring to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But Rava says, "I have a braisa that seems to contradict that, because a braisa says." It expands on our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi just said to the mayor that it's not a valid comparison. Now, why is it not a valid comparison? Now, this Braisa is going to explain why Rabbi Yossi disagrees. What you're trying to prove about Truma Tehora and Truma Tmeya is not comparable to the case, it's not similar to the case. To the raya, to the case that you're trying to bring a raya from, because when our rabbeim, when Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva gave their edus al mahe idu, what's the case that they gave edus about? Which shows, by the way, so far we see just from these first lines, from this first line of the braisa, we see already that Rabbi Yossi is referring to Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva and telling Rabbi Meir you're trying to bring a proof from them, but it's not a valid proof. So how can Rav Nachman say that Rav Meir is not even bringing a proof from them? He's bringing a proof from Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua. What were Rav Chanina and Rav Akiva? What were the cases they're giving edus about? So you're talking Rav Chanina of Sgana Koyanim's case. You have meat, which is a shlishi l'tumah, and you're burning it together with meat, which is a rishon l'tumah. That's not a proof to our case of truma on Erev Pesach. Zet tomei v'zet tomei. Because like we said in the Gemara before, the fact is both of them are tomei. So yeah, once it's tomei on a daraisa level, you can add a degree of truma to it. No problem. How does that prove where you have one is completely tohur that you should be allowed to make a tomei when you're burning it? Are you saying you're proving from Rabbi Akiva's case involving the oil, which is a shlishi l'tumah, and you're burning it in a lamp which became tomei from tmei mes, which we said the lamp itself is an avatumah, and therefore when you put the oil in there, it's going to become a rishon l'tumah. Same thing. Zeh posel v'zeh tomei. The oil is already posel. The lamp is tomei, so you're adding 2 degrees of tumah, but it's all already tomei. How are you? So Rabbi Yossi says, fine, I'm going to agree. But tumah shenitmas bevlada tumah shasof and oseim a tumah shenitmas bava tumah. Sure. If you have 2 batches of tumah where you have the same kind of thing as you have with Rabbi Chanina skana koyanim's meat, where one is a shlishi and one is a rishon, then yeah, you're allowed to burn them together. Sure. But how can you burn chometz which is tolui, which is where you're not sure if it's tomei or not, or for that matter afilu tluya, it says on the side over here, even if it's tolui, how much more so if it's completely tahor, as in your scenario or a mayor imatmeya together with truma tmeya, how could you do that? Even truma tluya shema yave Eliyahu v'itarena. After all, Eliyahu HaNavi might come and tell us that it was tahor. So then it comes out you were matame truma that's tahor biyadayim. You were matame it with your own bare hands. No. The suffix is you had previously a suffix with this truma whether it became tamei. You had, for example, Rashi gives an example that a person went in there and we don't know whether he touched it or not. Or Tosfos says, let's say you had 2 batches of dough or whatever. He touched one of them and we don't know which one. Whatever the case, the point is you have various cases where you have suffix tumah on food. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that even if it's suffix tumah, you can't burn it together with vaday tumah because it might really be tahor after all. Or Yohan Navi could come and tell us it's tahor, and then it turns out that you were metame truma tahora. How much more so truma, which is definitely tahor, that you shouldn't be able to burn it with truma tmeya? How are you proving from what Rabbi Chanina is saying and from what Rabbi Akiva is saying, where in both their cases the meat is definitely tamei or the oil is definitely posel? The Brisa continues. Now, this last part of the Brisa is not directly related to what to what Rava is asking on Rav Nachman, but we're just bringing it in because we're finishing off the Brisa. The Gemara often does that. When it quotes a Brisa, it quotes the whole thing, even though part of it is not necessarily relevant right now. So the Brisa finishes off, ha-pigul v'ha-noisev atomei. What if you have pigul of kodshim and noiser, and kodshim that became tomei, beshama omim ein nisrofen kachas, beshama says you cannot burn them all together. Now tomei obviously is tomei. Pigul and noiser are not tomei on a daraisa level. They're tomei derabanan, as we're going to talk about soon. But so therefore, Beshama is saying, therefore, that you can't burn them together because one is tomei daraisa and one is tomei derabanan. So it's the same. By the same token, with truma, you wouldn't be able to eat it. Beshillel would say you could burn them together. Fine, Beshillel would say you could burn them together because at least the noiser and the pigle are tomei derabanan. We're going to learn at the very end of our Masechta why that is, why the Chachamim made pigle and noiser tomei derabanan, and not only that they're tomei derabanan, they're actually metame the hands of a person who touches them. We're going to talk about at the end of the Masechta two reasons why. Anyway, the point is, so Beshillel is saying, fine, once the pigul and the noiser are tomei, at least derabanan, then fine, you're allowed to burn them together with meat of kodshim, which is tomei, which is tomei daraisa. Beshama is saying, no, because one's daraisa, one's derabanan. But the point is, definitely not when one is tohor, one is tomei. So, well, halacha is like Beshillel, fine, but that's again, when one is tomei derabanan and one is tomei daraisa. But the case of the chametz we're talking about over here, one is tahor, or one is toloi. We're not sure if it's tamei or not. So Rabbi Yossi says, even according to Beshillel, you shouldn't be able to burn it together with truma tamei. And even according to Rabbi Chanina and even according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have any proof from them that you should be able to burn it together. Where are you, Rabbi Meir, getting from that you can burn them together when one of them is completely tahor? So now, says Rava, the question I have on you, Rabbi Nachman, the Isakudai Dach Rabbi Meir Midivir Rabbi Yeshua Kamar, if Rabbi Meir is actually learning his din not from Rabbi Chanina and from Rabbi Akiva, but rather he's learning it from what Rabbi Yeshua says in that Mishnah involving the broken barrel, Amai Mahadule Rabbi Yossi Midrab Chanina Sagana Koyanim, then why is Rabbi Yossi answering him? How could you learn from Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koyanim and Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Meir is not learning from them at all. He's learning from a completely different Mishnah. The answer is Amalei Rab Nachman. So Rab Nachman answers Rava, Rab Yossi lav adaitehu. What happened over here is Rab Yossi misunderstood Rab Meir. Now, you know, we have the Gemara, we learned the Gemara in Erevin, that Rab Meir lo yochlu chaver of lamed al soif daito, that Rab Meir, a lot of times, his chaverim couldn't understand what he was getting at in discussions in halacha, which is why many times the halacha is not like him, because they couldn't, yeah, because he was very sharp, he was much sharper than the other one. So here we have an example of it, where Rab Meir said something, and Rab Yossi misunderstood. Rab Nachman tells us, Rab Yossi misunderstood what Rab Meir was trying to say. He thought that Rabbi Meir is trying to learn it from Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koyanim and Rabbi Akiva. So then he says, how could you learn it from them? They were talking about Tomei and Tomei, or Posel and Tomei, and how you're learning that from that to Tohar and Tomei. So the mayor tells him, no, actually, no, I'm not learning from Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva at all. I'm learning from Rabbi Yeshua's opinion about the barrel of wine that is about to become Tomei regardless, that since it's about to become Tomei regardless, and you're allowed to be Matame at Biadayim, the same way the Chometz here is going to become also regardless, and therefore you're allowed to be Matame at Biadayim. So now we pick up in our Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi says, no, Vafilo Rabbi Yeshua, Nami Eina Hi Amida. No, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not a valid comparison. Daha Moida, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua should serve Zubif Natsma, Zubif Natsma. Because in fact, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you have to burn them separately. So now that's how the whole discussion went. Rabbi Meir says his din. Rabbi Yossi thinks that he's talking based on Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva. So he says, how could you learn from them? Rabbi Meir says, no, I'm actually learning from Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yossi says, even Rabbi Yeshua won't agree to what you're saying. So now the question is, why not? Why is it not a valid comparison? It should be a valid comparison. There, Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to take wine of Truma, which is Tohar, and be Metame et Biadayim, because either way, it's going to become Tomei. And all that's going to happen if you don't do anything is, it's not only going to become Tomei, it's going to asser all the other wine over there of Chulin. as opposed to, and again, there's no way of saving any of it, Batara, because we're talking about the Tahir Kalim are too far away, and by the time you get it, all of it will have spilled, or up to less than a Revius will have spilled. So in our case over here, the same way, there's no way to save this Truma, that it's not going to become Osir, and that it's not going to become Osir. It's Chometz, after all. It's going to become Osir Erev Pesach, whether you like it or not. So therefore, you should be Matame at Biadayim. Why does Rabbi Yossi have a problem with that? Why is he saying that Rabbi Yeshua would disagree with that? So that's the question. It's a perfect comparison. The answer is shiny hostam deika hefsid cholin. The difference is over there, because you do have the additional factor that if you're not metame that wine biadayim, the cholin is going to get damaged, is going to get ruined as well. So maybe therefore Rabbi Yeshua is saying you need both. You need that the truma is inevitably going to become osir, and that in addition it's also going to be osiring something else as well, and therefore he's allowing you to save it biadayim. That doesn't prove anything for our case over here involving chametz. We're fine. It's going to become osir anyway. Nothing else is standing to get to become ruined by you not burning that chametz separately. So go ahead and burn it separately. Don't make it tameh where you have the option not to. There, you don't really have the option not to, because the cholin is going to get destroyed as well. Yeah. So therefore, it's not a valid comparison. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says, in that case, then I can argue with that. After all, if we go like Rabbi Yossi and say that you have to burn the Truma Tahora and the Truma Tmeya separately, then there's a loss of wood. You're having to make two separate wood piles in order to burn them. So you're losing that. So it should be the same comparison as over there, you're losing the cholin, and here you're losing extra wood. Well, I mean, once you burn, the wood is also burned, right? Once you burn the first batch of chametz, then the first batch of wood is gone. It became charcoal. You can't burn anything else with it. The answer is Amaleah who sava. The answer is an old Talmud Chacham told him that might be Eliyahu Hanavi. No, the difference is lehefsin meruba choshashu, lehefsin muat lechoshashu. The Chachamim, in this case, Rabbi Yeshua, are concerned about a major. Like this, you have a whole gasa tachtona, a whole vat full of wine of cholin, which is going to become truma tmeya. Then we're concerned about that, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to allow you to save it via daim. Not over here, where you just have a slight loss that you're going to have to use a couple of extra pieces of wood. Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that, and he says Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't care about that either. Okay. So far we have two ways of understanding what Reb Meir is saying in our Mishnah. One way is that he is in fact learning from Reb Chanina and Reb Akiva, but that requires us to say that Reb Chanina in particular is talking about Tumah D'Oraisa versus Tumah D'Rabbanan, and saying that even though it's only Tumah D'Rabbanan, meaning that it's Tahor D'Oraisa, you're still able to burn them together. And the same thing would be true as far as Chometz, which is Tahor, and Chometz, which is Tameh. That's one way. The other way, which was Rish Lakish's and Reb Nachman's way of understanding it, was that Reb Meir is not learning from them at all. He's learning from Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, and therefore that allows us to say that Reb Chanina is talking about that they're both Tomei D'Oraisa. Okay. So now, Amar Reb Asi, Amar Reb Yechanan, Machloikas B'Sheish. This whole Machloikas about whether you're allowed to burn them together is only during the sixth hour of the day, when at that point the chametz is only also d'rabbanon. Aval b'sheva, but once you come to the seventh hour, where there already it's also ben atorah, then already in effect that's a very great tumah itself. That's the equivalent of it being tumah d'oraisa. Therefore, divrei hakol sofrin. Therefore, even Rabbi Yossi is going to allow you to burn them together, because even Rabbi Yossi is saying I only have a problem when it's tahor, but once it already came at the time of day chatzos, when it's also d'oraisa, then already that's the equivalent of it being tumah. So go ahead and burn them together. No, you're supposed to burn it during the sixth hour, d'rabbanan. Mid'oraisa, you only have to burn it at the beginning of the seventh hour. That's when it becomes osur. Mid'rabbanan, we said the other day, you have to build in a margin of safety, because you might mix up, because you might not be clear on the time, etc. And therefore, you burn it during the sixth hour. But during that time, it's only osur d'rabbanan. So fine. So the mayor is saying, even when it's only osur d'rabbanan, I'm allowing you to burn them together. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that not. But when it's osur d'oraisa, even Rabbi Yossi will allow it. Amalei Rab Zeira L'Rab Asi. Neima kasava Rabbi Yochanan. Does that mean that Rabbi Yochanan? Does that mean that Rabbi Yochanan holds like the first explanation in the Gemara of Rabbi Meir? Masnisin ba'avatuma deraisa v'latatuma derabbanan. That the avatuma of our Mishnah is an avatuma deraisa. The vlad, on the other hand, is only a vlad derabbanan, and therefore the meat that was a shlishi latuma is only tamei midrabbanan midaraisa it's tahor. Umay midivrei hem midivrei Rav Chanina skana koyanim, and that when Rav Meir says I'm deriving from their words that you can burn truma tahor with truma tmeir, he means from what Rav Chanina skana koyanim is saying, and also Rav Akiva, which would be the first explanation of the Gemara against Rish Lakish and against Rav Nachman. So he says, yes, I do hold that way. I do hold that that is the explanation of the Mishnah. That therefore, in other words, Rav Meir is saying that in a case, in that case where it's only also Drabbanon, you're still able to burn it together with the Truma, which is Tomei Daraisa. The same way as Rav Chanina is saying that you can take meat, which is Tomei Drabbanon, and burn it together with meat, which is Tomei Daraisa. Rashi says the point is, when Rav Asi says machloikas b'sheish, does that mean davka during the sixth hour? Or could that potentially mean earlier? When he says the sixth hour, maybe means up to and including the sixth hour. All the time that it's also Drabbanan, and maybe, in other words, maybe even during the time when it's not yet even also Drabbanan. The sixth hour could also include the fifth and the fourth and so forth. In other words, that Rabbi Yochanan would be saying, as long as you haven't yet reached the time that it's also Daraisa, then whether it's not yet also at all, even Drabbanan, or whether it's already reached the time that it's also Drabbanan, either way, Rabbi Meir is allowing you to burn it together, and Rabbi Yossi would disagree. But once it reaches the time that it's also Daraisa, then everybody would agree you could burn them together. Tosfos actually doesn't like that and says that for example, you're doing the fourth or fifth hour, why would you be allowed to burn it together? You could still find koyanim to eat it. Now the obvious counter answer, which Mephoshim say on Tosfos, okay, you know, obviously you looked for koyanim to eat it, you couldn't find any, necessarily then it's gonna end up having to be destroyed anyway, so maybe you should be allowed to then also. Anyway, itmar nami. So they said also that clearly, Rabbi Yochanan masnisin ba'avat tuma d'araisa uvlada tuma d'rabbanon. That yes, Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that in Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyanim's case, the avat tuma is d'araisa, the vlada tuma is d'rabbanon, and that is where Rabbi Meir is learning from. Umay medibrei medibrei Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyanim umachloikas b'sheish, and the whole machloikas is up to and including the sixth hour. Aval b'sheva divrei hakol sofrin, but once you come to the seventh hour and it's also daraisa, even Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that look, at this point it's also daraisa anyway. That's no better and no worse than being tomei. In effect, this truma is already tomei, but you can't eat it anyhow. Therefore, go ahead and burn it together with the truma that's actually tomei. Fine. So we have, in other words, so this that Rav Shlokish had said before, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with. The original answer, the original explanation that we said in the Gemara as Stoma de Gemara, without giving a name to it, now we know Rabbi Yochanan holds that way. That we're learning from Rav Chanina Sgana Koyanim, and that Rav Chanina is talking about an Avda Raisa and a Vlad Drabbanon, not like Rav Shlokish and Rav Nachman, who said both the Av and the Vlad are Daraisa, and that Rav Meir was actually learning from Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in Trumas about the barrel. Okay, the Gemara says, Lema Messiahle. In that case, can we say that the Braisa that we quoted at the top of the part of the Braisa that we quoted at the top of the Amud supports what Rabbi Yochanan is saying? The Braisa had said, a pigul van noisu vatome. If you have meat of pigul and noisu and tome, Beshama emim en disruf and kachas, Beshama says you can't burn them together because, again, we said one is tome daraisa, the other ones, the noisu and the pigul, are only tome midrabbanon, and you can't burn them together because daraisa is still tahor. Beis Hillel says you can burn them together. So we see that Beis Hillel is allowing, even though it's Tahor on a Daraisa level, you're still able to be metame it as you're burning it. So that would be the same thing as our case over here, where it's also Drabbanon during the sixth hour, and you're still allowed to burn it. The answer is that's not necessarily a valid proof. Shiny Hossam de Islur Tumma Midrabanan. The difference is they already, it is Tumma Midrabanan, the Tznan, as we learn at the end of our Masechta, ha pigul van noisim etamina seyadayim. Pigul and noisim make a person's hands Tumma Midrabanan. The whole concept of hands being Tumma is only Midrabanan. So therefore, so in that case, it already has a degree of tumah. That doesn't necessarily prove for our case the sixth hour, where yeah, it's also to eat already, but it still doesn't have any tumah yet. And on top of that, especially according to Rashi, that Rabbi Yechon is allowing you to burn it together even before the sixth hour, even during the fourth or fifth hour, where it's not even necessarily even also to eat yet, let alone to have hanah from, that you should be able to burn it together, not necessarily. His Rabbi Yechon and Svara is, again, that is law, because it's going le'ibud anyway. It's anyway going to be lost. Right now, it's not. Well, that's Tosfos' problem with Rashi, is the fact is, during the fourth hour, you could still find a koyin to eat it. So how can you say it's going le'ibud? But a counter-argument to that is that they say, I think the Pnei Yeshua says, I don't remember, somebody says, on Tosfos, the obvious counter argument is, he already looked for koyin, and obviously he didn't find any, which is why he's talking about burning it now. Well, that meant, the Kohenim only busy bringing the Kohen Pesach in the afternoon. Besides, maybe, I don't know. Besides which also, I mean, that's Bisman Shebeis Mikdash Kayim. I mean, this that we're talking about, Truma continued to exist after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed also. So, yeah. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, Lema Messiah, okay, can we say that there's another Braisa that supports what Rabbi Yechon is saying, Rabbi Yechon's understanding of our Mishnah? That when you have something which is anyway going to be destroyed because you're not able to eat it, that you're allowed to make it tomei as you're burning it. So hapas sheipsha, if bread of truma became moldy, v'nifsala melechal adam, it's no longer able to be eaten by people. V'akelav yochal oichla, but a dog can still eat it. So it's still considered chometz. Metama tumas oichlin bekabetza. It can still be metame other food if you have a kabetza of it. You have a machlokas rishonim whether you need a kabetza of food in one place to become tame or not, or whether food can become tame even if you have less than a kabetza of it in one place. Everybody agrees that to be metame other food, you need to have a kabetza. So therefore, what we're saying is this moldy bread, because originally it was suitable for human food. So therefore, when does it become no longer tame? Only if it's not roi lachilas kelev. Here it's still roi lachilas kelev. Therefore, it's still matame, and v'nisrefes imatame b'pesach. And you can burn it together with tum, even if it's truma tahora, you're allowed to burn it together with truma tame on Pesach. Now, Rashi points out, this has to be specifically according to Rabbi Yossi, this Braisa. Rabbi Meir wouldn't even require it to be moldy. According to Rabbi Meir, anyway, you can burn Truma Tmeya together with Truma Tahora. Rabbi Yossi is the one who's disagreeing and saying, Einahi Amida. So therefore, but even according to him, if it's moldy, then you're allowed to. So you see, therefore, that Rabbi Yossi agrees that where you can't eat it anymore, then you're allowed to burn it together. The same thing should apply once Chatzos on Erev Pesach has come, once the seventh hour of the day has come, where it's also on a Daraisa level to eat. That's no better than moldy bread. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi should also be allowing it. So that would prove what Rabbi Yechon is saying, that there's a difference between when it's also Dirabanon versus when it's also Daraisa. Like Moses says, that's not a proof. Shiny hossam to Afra ba'almahu. No, because you could say in that case, where it's moldy, it's considered in effect like dirt. It's considered like dust already. You can't really say that. It's still roi lachilas kelev, and therefore it's still matame tumas oichlin. But now that's not suitable for human food anymore, you can't really say that it's considered still truma tahora. So therefore, that might be different. That doesn't necessarily prove our case over here, where the truma is physically edible. It's just that it's also daraisa. Not necessarily does that show that Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that you could burn them together at that point. Okay, the Gemara says, "Ihochi my moida." If so, now let's go back again. Rabbi Yochanan is understanding, like we understood at the beginning of the Gemara, that Rabbi Meir is learning from what Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyanim says. And then, we still have later on in the Mishnah that when Rabbi Yossi says Einahi Amida, then he continues. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are both Moida. How do Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua come in over here? According to this understanding, Rabbi Meir is not learning from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua at all. He's learning from Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva. So why is Rabbi Yossi bringing in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? So Ihochi my Moida. Then what does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are Moida? The answer is Hachi Ka'amalei Rabbi Yosi de Rameo. The answer is, according to this explanation, Rabbi Yosi is telling Rabbi Meir like this. Afilu l'Rabbi Yeshua de Mekel. Even according to Rabbi Yeshua, in that case of the broken barrel, that he's saying like this, you're learning from Rabbi Chanina, that's not a proof, because like we said, like we said before, and like we're going to say soon, because we're talking, it's because it's a tumah derabanan only. So you can't necessarily prove from that. For our case over here, you're going to be metameh daraisa. As far as if you were to say, yeah, but at least Rabbi Yeshua allows it in the case of broken barrel, the answer is that no. Ki afilu Rabbi Yeshua de Mekel, when is Rabbi Yeshua allowing it? Ki Mekel betloyo tmeya. Even Rabbi Yeshua, no, forget about the case of the barrel, in other words. According to this understanding, we're not addressing the case of the barrel of wine at all. Even Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you can burn truma tahora with truma tmeya, he would say not where it's tahor, but only where it's tolerate. Only where it's tolerate. So, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, who's Mekel and says you can burn them together, ki Mekel, when is he being Mekel and saying you can burn them together? Only betluyo tmeya, only where one is tolerate and the other one is definitely tamei. Then Rabbi Yeshua says you can burn them together. Alva betahodo tmeya loy, but not if one is definitely tamei and the other one is definitely tahor. Which is the case that a mayor is talking about. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi says, no good. You can't compare them. So the question is, again, fine, but why is that not a valid comparison to what Rabbi Chanina is saying? It should be a valid comparison. Rabbi Chanina is allowing you to burn together meat, which is tamei d'oraisa, together with meat, which is tamei d'rabbanan. And again, we're talking during the sixth hour. There's already an issur d'rabbanan on the chametz, so therefore we should be saying you're allowed to burn it together because there's an issur d'rabbanan, and that should be the equivalent of a tumah d'rabbanan, and therefore you should be able to burn it together. So why does Rabbi Yosi not accept that equation? Fine, he's saying Rabbi Yeshua is not moida. Why, in fact, is Rabbi Yeshua not moida? Rabbi Yeshua should be moida in that case because it's like the case of Rabbi Chanina. You can't eat it anymore because it's also d'rabbanan. The answer is Amar Abiyamiya Hochaba Bossa Shinitma Mashkin Shinitmo Machmas Sheretz. The case is, we're talking about over here, when we say the meat became tummy with a Vlada Tumma, what kind of Vlada Tumma are we talking about? It became tummy by touching liquids, which in turn had become tummy from a Sheretz. So the Sheretz is an Avatumma, the liquids became tummy from it, then the liquids touched meat. So now on the face of it, the meat is a Sheni. But so va'azder Rab Meir l'taimei v'Rab Yosi l'taimei. Rab Meir and Rab Yosi are going according to their respective shittas, which we find elsewhere. Rab Meir l'taimei d'amar tumas mashkin l'taimei acherim d'rabbanon. Rab Meir holds that in general, this is what we talked about at the beginning of the sugya, that when we talk about tuma of can liquids make other things tamei, Rab Meir holds on a d'oraisa level, liquids can't make any other food tamei anyway. Only d'rabbanan are liquids able to make food tamei. On a d'oraisa level, in other words, according to Rab Meir, there's really no difference between a liquid that's a rishon, a sheni, a shlishi, whatever. No matter what, they're in effect only possible because they can't be metamei other food. Only d'rabbanan can make. So he says that mashkim are making food tamei only on a d'rabbanan level. Therefore, on a d'oraisa level, this meat is completely tahor. You're going and burning it together with meat, which became tamei, with an avat tumah, which is tamei d'oraisa. So therefore, it's an exact comparison to the case of truma, where you have one is also where you have the truma is also d'rabbanan, and you're burning it together with one which is tamei d'oraisa. That's exactly the case as meat, which is tamei d'rabbanan, and you're burning it together with meat, which is tamei d'oraisa. Rabbi Yosi, the time A, Rabbi Yosi, meanwhile, is going according to his own shitta. He says that the fact that liquids can make other food tamei is on a daraisa level. So therefore, the second batch of meat became tamei on a daraisa level. So it's not a comparison. Rabbi Chanina is talking about meat which is tamei together with other meat which is tamei. Rabbi Meir wants to compare it to a case where one is also d'rabbanan and the other one is also daraisa, and Rabbi Yosi tells him nothing doing. So now, So Rashi gets into a discussion over here. In that case, then what's the most sifin al tumah? So if you say that the one meat is a sheni latruma daraisa according to Rabbi Yossi, and the other meat is a rishon latruma. Again, rishon touches food, it makes it a sheni. So we're back to the question that we had at the very beginning of the sugya, that it's not becoming any more tumah. It was a sheni, and now it's becoming a sheni. So Rashi says that actually Rabbi Yumia still would have to be, we still would need the answer that Rabbi Yehuda gave at the beginning of the sugya, that we're talking about not a sheni latuma but rather a shlishi. So he says he's not getting into the details, Rabbi Yumia. He just wants us to know that we're talking about there is Tumas Mashkin involved over here. But you're right, actually, what it would mean is, in other words, that to be more exact, Rabbi Yumia would have to be saying that the Kaili became Tommy with a Sheretz and therefore became a Rishon Latruma. The Kaili in turn was a Tommy Mashkin and they became a Sheni. And the Mashkin touched the meat, which became a Shlishi. So just Rabbi Yumia is not getting into that level of detail. So the point is, it's meat which is a sheni, which is a shlishi. You're making it into a sheni when it touches the other meat. But Rabbi Meir is saying that that's fine. Then you also have Rashi points out that we had the machlokas yesterday about whether food can be metame other food on a daraisa level. We had Ravina saying that not even by kodshim it can't. So again, what's the problem over here? Burning shlishi together with rishon, the meat touches the meat. It's not going to be metame anything on a daraisa level anyway. The answer is necessarily, we would say that necessarily we have to say that Rabbi Yirmiyah holds like one of the other opinions over there, like Abaya or like Rabbi Adab Ava, that's different when it comes to kodshim, or maybe even it's different when it comes to truma as well. That meat can be metame meat, right? So that's the bottom line so far. So Ravina necessarily would disagree with Rabbi Yirmiyah's explanation. Ravina, who says that meat can never be metame meat on a daraisa level, he can't understand the Mishnah the way that we're trying to understand, the way that Rabbi Yirmiyah is understanding it now. He necessarily would have to say, like Rish Lakish and like Rabbi Nachman, that Rabbi Meir is learning from Rabbi Yeshua's opinion about the broken barrel. If you want to say that he's learning from Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim, necessarily you have to say, and necessarily you have to say, as we're saying over here now, that Rab Chanina's tumas are daraisa and darabanan respectively. But if we want to say that they're both daraisa and that they're arguing what can be matame what on the daraisa level, Ravina wouldn't agree with that way of understanding the Mishnah. So again, we have this machlokas. Detanya, as we learn in a brisa, sofik mashkin litame, if you have a sofik regarding a liquid. So for example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say you have a tome stuck out his foot towards liquids that are tahor, and we don't know whether he touched it or not. So that's a sofik whether the mashka became tome. So now, so tome, so the din is, it itself is tome, because liquids can become tome on a daraisa level, therefore it's a suffic daraisa, and suffic daraisa lachomra, but latame acherim tahor. But when you get to the question, is that liquid going to be able to be metame something else, then it's tahor divrei Meir, because according to him, the whole concept that liquid can be metame food is only derabanan anyway, so therefore it's a suffic derabanan lakula, divrei Meir. V'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar oimer kedvarav. Rabbi Lazar said the same thing as Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda oimer lakol tamei. Rabbi Yehuda says that for all purposes it's tamei. That when you have this liquid, is tamei misafik. Then he holds, as we're going to discuss tomorrow, Mez Hashem, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only that Rabbi Yehuda holds the polar opposite of Rabbi Meir. Not only he says liquids can be metame thing, can be metame food on the daraisa level, he says they can even be metame kalim on a daraisa level. Usually, up until now, we've been saying when liquids are metame a kalim is only derabanan, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that not. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they can even be metame kalim. So lakol tame, for all purposes, this liquid that is a suffix, whether it's tame or not, whether it touches kalim, whether it touches foods, those things are going to be tame misafik, because again, you have a suffik daraisa, and suffik daraisa l'chumra. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, lo'ochlim tmeim, lo'kelim tahorim. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon take a bit of a middle ground. They say if the Suffolk mashka, which is Suffolk tamei, if it touched food, then it's going to make them tamei because it's a Suffolk doraisa. Because according to them, liquids can be matame food on a doraisa level. But lekelim tahorin. But if it touches kelim, we're there. It's only a possible tuma derabanan. Then they're tahor. So we see, therefore, that a mayor holds that liquids cannot be matame anything on a daraisa level. The whole concept of them being matame anything, even food, is only derabanan. Rabbi Yossi, meanwhile, is saying that it is daraisa. So therefore, now that fits with their opinions in our Mishnah over here, says Rabbi Yemiya, that Rabbi Meir therefore says that the meat that Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohenim is talking about that became tamei with a vlada tumah, it became tamei by touching liquids that made it tamei. So it's only tamei derabanan, and yet you're allowed to burn it together with meat, which is tamei deraisa, showing therefore that there's no problem burning derabanan together with deraisa. The same thing then would apply to chametz during the sixth hour, which is also derabanan to burn it together with tumah tmei deraisa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi would be saying that no. The fact that this meat became tamei from liquids, it's actually tamei on a deraisa level. So sure, you can show that if you have meat that's tamei on a deraisa level, you can burn it with other meat that's tamei on a deraisa level. But to say tahora or also derabanan together with also deraisa, that not. So therefore, he says, therefore, you can't burn them together. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and get more. We're going to get tomorrow more into all this detail about what are the dinim of tumah of liquids daraisa and derabanan. Yeah, so some more stuff about hilchos tumah v'tahara. Again, we have this whole sugya lasts for a week. It runs over seven. It runs to seven blot, and then yeah. By the time we get to the end of it, we'll be a little more knowledgeable in these halachas. Bez Hashem. Yeah. Shkoyach, everyone.